Thank you very much. Good evening, and please excuse again that I cannot be with you in London this time, and it had definitely nothing to do with Brexit. Now, the debate on Brexit about the R&D system in Europe has largely concentrated in the past on the question to what extent Great Britain will be suffering from the Brexit. From the beginning of the debate, I myself have concentrated my thinking more on the question, what are we continental Europeans losing if and when Brexit occurs? Now it is there, and I would like to say a few words. What does it mean at the level of strategy, at the level of projects, publications, people, and then probably add some ideas how we can probably solve the issue and make it easier. To start with strategy, I would like to start with my first slide and let us read what T.S. Eliot already in 1948 said about Europe. It was the assumption that there existed an international fraternity of men of letters, I would rather like to say intellectuals or scientists within Europe, a bond which did not replace but was perfectly compatible with national loyalties, religious loyalties, and differences of political philosophy, and that it was our business not so much to make any particular ideas prevail as to maintain intellectual activity on the highest level. To maintain intellectual activity at the highest level as a genuine task for us Europeans within Europe and in the EU. Now, along those lines, there was a recent article in Nature. It was made 2019 with the title Europe, the Rulemaker. And what the authors, to my opinion, rightly stated is the fact that with the growing European research area, with the Horizon program in Europe, which is now planned to spend 94 million euros, which is not sure, as we know, over the next years, Europe, in fact, has gained a leadership role governing and directing even global research. This is true for the actual contribution European scientists produce. It's true for the money being spent. And finally, it's true that European scientists and policy agencies are more and more giving the direction in, let's say, climate change, chemical regulation, and data protection. And this development has to do with the European science development itself, but it has also to do with the United States retreat for multilateralism and President Donald Trump, as the authors of before mentioned articles say. And it's probably not by mere chance that exactly in these days of Brexit, Dan Nica, a Romanian member of parliament in Europe, calls for a Europe first approach to research and innovation and funding. Pascal Lamy, chair of a high-level expert group, however, he was evaluating the future of the framework program made in his review in 2017, already clear that it is up to the EU to continuously invite the rest of the world to collaborate in research and innovation. And he even feels that our framework programs in Europe could become a nucleus of global programs. So one of the postulates of Carlos Moedas, the former commissioner for research, quote, to be open to the world is a wonderful mandate for the future in times of recurring nationalism and protectionism, end of quote. If we follow for a second this vision, how devastating must it then be that Great Britain gets itself out of the game? What a loss for the planning of new programs, the research to be performed in new programs, and for the quality of what we are doing. And there is more to lose for us in continental Europe after Brexit. It is the internationality. It is the international network British scientists have to a degree, which we, I think, don't have on the continent concerning quantity and quality. Our networks are there, of course, but not in the same way and historical dimension as our British colleagues have, probably, of course, due to the Commonwealth. And personally, I also feel that especially in the field of life sciences, British scientists and the British society are and is more open towards taking risks than especially our German society. If we look back at the debate on stem cells, where British scientists had a much more pragmatic approach, which in the end proved to be right, and we in Germany had to correct our position. Think of Louise Brown, the first child which came to the world with artificial fertility. Think of Dolly, Name it, it is more. Now let's come to projects and publications. It is clear that the British scientists and the participants are leading in coordinating Horizon 2020 projects and programs. 20% of all of them were led by British scientists, only 11% by German scientists, for example. The number of applications for European programs has decreased from British scientists from 1950 onwards, and there is also a decrease in the money being given to British scientists. We are losing in Europe, in continental Europe, competence, we are losing quality, we are using ideas, and we are losing, in the end, innovation. Publications. In 1998, 26% of all British publications were the outcome of international collaboration. In 2018, 10 years later only, 55% of all British publications were the result of international corporations. And I'm talking about the high-ranked publications. And Germany is, in this context, the number one collaborator with British scientists, followed by United States and the Netherlands. So it is important that we are joining together also in terms of outcome of our research people. Our students in continental Europe are losing their access to British universities if we do not take countermeasures, and if special rates for education European students still enjoy will be taken away. Now, if we look exactly what is happening currently about in large universities, big universities, Oxford, Cambridge, about 30% of the staff is non-British EU. And about 20-25% of the students do come from Europe to non-British EU countries. And there is already an exodus going on. And even British scientists are seeking other jobs on the continent. So the weakening of the European research area is already there and ongoing. It will be a relevant question for the British science system if down the road it faces a brain drain problem, a challenge that is usually a topic of new member states in Europe. Therefore, Great Britain should do anything that can be done not to suffer from brain drain, but rather allow, enhance, and support, invite brain circulation or brain traffic. The freedom to move for scientists within Europe has to be taken very seriously. And actually, this postulate for scientists to move freely in Europe is as old as in the year 1088. There was a Bologna Declaration asking for free movement of scientists across Europe. What applies to scientists, to active scientists, of course, applies also for students. So we have to do everything to maintain and enforce the circulation of brains within Europe, irrespective of Brexit or not. The minimum postulate is to continue at least the Erasmus program. Politicians should not underestimate the necessity to work internationally, to work in international teams, in multidisciplinary consortia, in order to succeed and to cope with the great challenges ahead of us. Now, some possibilities how we could concretely help the science system in England, but also in Europe. The first, above all, is that we should do everything that associate membership will be established and will work. Whatever will be achieved with associate membership, it will be a difference, there will be a gap to what we have today. How could we fill this gap? And I would propagate and argue that bilateral agreements between the Kingdom and countries in Europe, like Germany, could be a way out. I would especially propagate agreements between Great Britain and Germany. And what can I foresee? At the level of students, I would believe that doctoral training programs, graduate schools, which are run between two universities, one in Great Britain, one in continental Europe, in Germany, for example. This would be a support for brain circulation, counteracting brain drain. Graduate schools would be financed either by the governments or, probably even more interesting, by foundations in Great Britain and on the continent. In Berlin, for example, we are actively engaged in designing programs with the University of Oxford. A joint graduate school can be beneficial. It is not very expensive, but very, very effective. At the level of senior scientists, I would propose a model which is very successfully run by my foundation, the Einstein Foundation, here in Berlin. We call the program Einstein Visiting Fellow Program. It is very simple. Berlin scientists who are working with and would like to enhance the work with, let's say, a colleague from Cambridge, he applies for extra money from the Einstein Foundation, and if the quality is okay, they get money from our foundation to invite the British colleague to come over 6 times a year, have his own laboratory, a second laboratory in Berlin, of course maintaining the laboratory in Cambridge and Oxford or wherever, and thereby allowing for a deepened long-term relationship in science, but also in educational terms, because under the umbrella of these scholarships, students, postdocs move backward and forward. A very successful program which can be easily installed. And third, I think a joint college for advanced studies would be an ideal instrument to maintain and deepen strength in the relationship between continental European and British scientists. Being a German and a Berliner, I would like to have such a college for advanced studies, let's say for life sciences, here in our area, together with Oxford or other universities. And finally, at a somewhat more complicated level, I believe that we should create more research institutes of the type of the EMBL and CERN. However, with a somewhat different governance, the world would be invited to take part in those international institutes based in different countries of Europe. The countries could contribute to the financing of those institutions by becoming something like a shareholder and by allowing scientists for a certain period to work in those labs, becoming stakeholders. A combined and modified shareholder-stakeholder model for international research institutes, but especially also non-European science could become members, thereby allowing to maintain and increase our British colleagues, their bonds to continental European scientists, and at the same time also become part of the institutes, which according to Médos are open to and for the world. If, after all, it will not really work with the association agreements, I think we should do everything to strengthen bilateral agreements, at least between Great Britain and Germany, because I do believe and I know that our research systems with bottom-up procedures, clear quality-oriented programs, competitively performed, and a genuine international attitudes, our systems are very similar, and it should not be a major problem to come to agreements. My last slide, please. I started with T.S. Eliot, and as a German, you will understand, I will end with Goethe. And he says, science and art belong to the whole world, and before them vanish the barriers of nationality. Thank you very much for your patience and having me. Good evening.